From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
Man, the running back position, it's pretty freaking clear. The days of long-term contracts and extreme value being put into the position, bye-bye.
But this is what we talk about. Like, we are all four players getting as much money as they possibly can. We're very pro-player. But in a salary cap world, you have to be realistic about it, and you have to manage it properly. Good news for everyone. This is the day we expected.
It happened!
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Monday. Cofield and Company, as the coronavirus continues to alter things for everyone, we are glad to be doing a show. Happy with that, because I know a lot of people are out of work right now, so we feel fortunate, and we'll take you through the next 3 hours. Plenty of sports news to get into, plenty of other stuff to get to. We generally have a other stuff section in our show prep that is about double the size of sports, and now we're getting to use a lot of that as well. But glad you're with us here on a Monday. It's Cofield and Company. Adam Hill is here, Steve Cofield in our Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Ari. All right, Ari, let's do it.
It's time for the three. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
So, you know, I said before this thing started to develop, and now it's gotten really serious, as much of the country is being locked down, and Nevada did it last week, and who knows, we may have curfew pretty soon where no one's allowed out after, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I said at the time, I'm mostly fine being at home. I have a million things to do. I can always work from home. I work from home now, so I don't have an issue with it. You are going to be the challenge. But this is a good thing, because in your boredom, you've actually sought out some outlets, and you found some pretty interesting stuff over the weekend in terms of the entire country going up to the internet and IG and other places just to congregate, not really congregate.
Social distance.
Yeah, so really socially distancing by congregating on the internet. What'd you find?
Well, I actually just on the way here found two comedians working on coronavirus material live for an audience, which was great. But this weekend, there's just this whole like industry popping up of let's just start Instagram Lives and let's, you know, let's try to build an audience. Let's try to get people, you know, excited and you know, socializing somehow. The first one was, and I think a lot of people know about this one, DJ D Nice, who basically just started like a club in his apartment where he's standing in front of a camera, he's playing music, and he's, you know, just playing some good hits, everybody's having a good time, and then like every celebrity in the world is joining into this room. So you're going into this Instagram Live room, and all of the comments are huge celebrities, which was crazy. First of all, I saw Obama in there. Both Barack and Michelle were in there. Ellen joins. And I think people start spreading on Twitter like, hey, go to this room. All these celebrities are in there. And then everybody is in there. Both Biden and Sanders' Instagram accounts were in there. Now, I can't imagine that those two were actually watching. But those accounts are both in there. And it's just celebrity after celebrity. Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union were in there. Everyone is in there just listening to the same music, kind of having a good time and enjoying themselves. I thought that was very cool. I think Saturday he was up to like over 100,000. That was his goal. And then yesterday he jumped on again, and he's like, let's see if we can get it bigger. And he was up to 160,000 yesterday. Wow. People watching him just play music in his apartment. Very cool.
That is cool. And we're going to have a lot more of that stuff coming up, I'm sure. More creativity.
I think so, because last night and the night before, Saturday and Sunday night, somebody basically decided to start like a outlaw strip club.
Is it at a club, or is it in a home, or is it in a warehouse,
it's
in a garage?
Dude, it's a dude sitting in his living room. He's got some alcohol there. Looks like there may be some other extracurricular activities going on in his place.
Do it.
And, you know, if you're on Instagram Live, people can request to be on live with you, and then you can accept. And so then all of a sudden it's a split screen. It's you and somebody else. And he was basically like, okay, let's collect some money. So he put his He put his cash apps out there on the screen. He said, let's get a bunch of money, and let's get girls around the country that decide they just want to dance on camera in whatever various stage of clothing.
Woo!
And we'll start sharing money with them. And they were collecting a lot of money, and they were getting a lot of girls to participate. And I will tell you, I don't know if we should sell them out, but there was two very, very high-profile athletes in there.
Like, actually there or in the room?
In the room commenting and donating money.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why not? It's a good cause.
Okay. Yeah.
Better causes, I guess.
Well, one just signed a new deal.
Is that right?
But he just got cut and then signed a new
deal. Oh, I was going to say Brady in the strip room or a strip club.
No.
Virtual strip club.
No.
No.
Maybe a running back?
Okay. Do you want to out him?
Todd Gurley was in there.
Have they been outed?
Yes, Todd Gurley was in there.
Okay.
He was having a good time.
I like it. Well, you were in there, so what are you going to do, crap on Todd Gurley for being in there? You were in there enjoying yourself?
It was great.
Did you throw out some virtual dollars?
I might have.
Is that right?
It was a good cause.
I'm not going to say that I went to look for it once you told me all about it, because I may have.
You can still find the stream.
Okay, well.
It's up there.
Do you want to send that out to the public, or is this by like DM only?
No, it was. I mean, I was getting some invites.
Okay.
But I think it's public.
All right, maybe during the first break.
All right.
We'll give some people some info on that. Okay. A little cleaner. I thought this was really cool. And athletes all over the country are trying to do this in their downtime. Meet and greet with fans, right? Obviously, they're not going to be fist bumping them, hugging, kissing them, signing autographs face to face. But they're doing a lot of virtual chats. And the McCourty twins, who were with the Patriots, did a pretty lengthy – they'd already been doing a podcast, but they do it with God, now I'm blanking on the app. We'll get it later. They basically have fans come in, like, every minute on their own camera. Like, they're in two remote locations, and then they have fans come in on a third camera. So the fans just ask questions over the course of 45 minutes.
That's pretty cool.
It's really neat.
That's good.
I watched the entire 45 minutes because there was some great stuff we can grab from it, and we did. Our vast sound crew was hard at work today grabbing Devin and Jason McCourty, their opinion on Brian Hoyer, who signed with the Patriots, and the virtually unknown Stiddy. So we'll find out more about Jared Stidham, who these guys made it sound like he's going to be the guy. But they got a surprise guest. All of a sudden, someone popped in to talk to Jason and Devin McCourty, the Patriots defensive backs.
Look who it is. We know this lady.
Hi.
We got Mama Mac joining the chat. We see you figured out how to download FanCred.
Told you I'm smart. How are you staying in shape with the coronavirus?
For me, our stadium is still open here. So we got about 3.5 hours daily of guys that are coming back off injuries and different stuff like that. So we're still able to go out there. They've just limited the numbers, but a lot of it is done at home. Especially on nice days, the few that we get here in Foxborough, we can go outside and get some running in and stuff.
I've been hitting my Peloton. You've seen the Peloton before social distancing came in. I'm still hitting my Peloton. I ran in the front yard one day. I'm going to hit the backyard another day. So whenever the sun comes out, I just chase the sun.
Are they getting likes or are they getting money? That little bell. Is that a like or they just got paid for that? Did Peloton just throw like $4,000 into Jason McCourty's account?
Possibly.
He's like, Peloton, I like it. Ding.
I'm not on that app, so I don't know exactly how that works.
It's called FanCred.
Okay.
Our buddy Sports by Brooks was up there about 6 months ago, kind of kicking it off as one of the bigger names on there. But the McCourty twins are doing something called, I think it's called Double Coverage. And, yeah, it was probably 30 fans just coming in, asking quick questions. It was great.
That's very cool.
I really enjoyed it.
I guess celebrities and their parents are kind of making this a thing, because this was Drake and his dad this weekend, too. Drake's dad went live on Instagram, and there was like 40 people in there watching. So Drake decided to pop in, and then all of a sudden there's like a million of Drake and his dad doing shots across country.
Wow.
Just hanging out. It was a good time.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so bad news for us. I mean, it's finally the door is closed on the draft. Absolutely no NFL draft presence in Las Vegas. What's
none?
The update on how they're going to do this?
There's really no official update, but it looks like the way that they are trending is toward just an old-school kind of conference room in New York. On TV with all the draft rooms set up in the various cities and everybody just kind of Skyping in and doing the draft that way. Kind of like the old days, a throwback. And I'm kind of happy about this. If there was no full draft, I didn't want a draft presence just because you know, you don't want this to count. You don't want to be like, well, you had the draft. You had that, you know, we had that little stage there in Las Vegas. Like, no. You want the full thing. So it looks like maybe 2 years is the best chance for that. Get it all out of here, and we will have our full draft at some point in the very near future.
2 years, we think.
We think so.
In between Cleveland and KC.
We think so. We hope so.
Better be. Not hope.
Better be.
We demand it.
Better be. Especially because Tick told us here on the air that if we did the draft well, we're getting the Super Bowl for sure.
Tick Sagerbloom.
Yeah.
You're good buddies with Tick.
Me and Tick are homies.
I have a feeling you like his constant updates on the Mary Jane and
well,
the dispensaries.
He has an issue, and he's passionate about it, and he provides updates on that.
He does. He does. All right. Throughout the show, we're going to hit what's going on with the Patriots quarterback situation, because I think the McCourties gave us some pretty good indications. That's coming up later on. We got news out of Indy that, yeah, Tom Brady was interested, but they liked Phillip Rivers more. That seems totally insane. And the Raiders continue to sign players over the weekend, although the receiver they signed is best known for dropping passes. So why did the Raiders sign Nelson Agholor?
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
Why doesn't New England go after Andy Dalton? Playoff experience? Cheap? Better than what you have. Why? It's tanking for Trevor Lawrence. Tanking for Trevor.
Stay safe, Walter, please believe. But that corona make it hard for a player to breathe. Don't wash your hands, you might catch it, Walter, then you stuck. Right now, them tickets to Jamaica only $15. I'm trying to quarantine myself. I'm staying inside the NBA.
What's going on with the coronavirus, the latest wrap? Do we have credit on that one? I think we'll have to get it at some point. They deserve that. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, it's a Monday. As we're rolling out, Cofield and Company, we'll just say on the road. You hear some wind chimes in the background, maybe outside, but try to social distance as much as possible. Coming up, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. We'll talk about Phillip Rivers and the Colts. Later, we'll get into the Pats' effort, according to Colin Cowherd, of tanking. What do you think? Are they trying to tank?
No. Bill Belichick's not tanking. There's no chance.
Yeah, I don't believe it either.
I think it's something that's smart that he would do if it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago when they needed to make this decision. But he's at an age where there's no way. Like he's going to tank a year for Trevor Lawrence, who might not be ready for 2 more years after that. So what, you're going to not compete for 3 years? It's not happening.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I don't think they could tank badly enough.
Right.
To get Lawrence, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like how bad? You saw what the Dolphins did. The Dolphins, because that's who Colin likens it to, is the Dolphins were trying to tank for Tua, but they still played hard. They were still trying to set up a culture. When you play hard and you're trying to set up a culture, you're going to win some games.
Yeah.
And you saw even the Bengals, it's not like they won a ton of games, but even the Bengals got better. It's hard to tank in the NFL. You can't just have guys go out and not try. They're going to get broken in half. And it also, imagine going through 16 or 17 games, now 17, and trying to tank. Like, after a while, your player's going to be like, this is awful, and also develop horrible habits.
Yeah, and you know, we also saw you have to be fully committed. And could the Patriots be fully committed to that? The Dolphins screwed it up last year. They had a plan in place. They tried, and they won too many games. And they might not get the guy that they wanted, even though they got rid of everyone. Now they have 3 first round picks. I like where they're going. They have a lot of cap space. They're signing guys. I like the direction they went in, the plan they had, but it didn't really work the way they wanted it to. And so I don't think the Patriots could fall that far. Their defense is too good, and Belichick's too good.
Lots on Tom Brady as the show moves along. Headline, Colts reportedly had Tom Brady's interest, but were set on Phillip Rivers instead.
It just doesn't sound rational.
Well, doesn't it, by the contracts that were signed? I mean, this sort of suggests that – did they talk to Brady about a one-year deal? Rivers has a one-year deal. It seems to me like everyone else around the league – like the Patriots told Tom Brady, yeah, 1 year, man. You're 1,000 years old. We're not committing 2 years. And the Colts did the same thing. And when the Colts got the signal from Brady that he wanted a 2-year deal, it's like, well, we got a guy who's may not be as good as you and had a down year last year, but is younger, still has some zip left, and we can get him on a 1-year deal as the bridge quarterback.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to break it down like that, I think it's just more the – did they look at Brady or Rivers and say, who do we want? We want Rivers? No, I'm not believing that. If it's, hey, we looked at what Brady wanted and what Rivers wanted and Rivers more fit into what our plan was, then, yeah, I can accept that and I can believe that because it does seem like a lot of teams that were going to be in on Brady were out when they found out he wanted that second-year guarantee. It seems like that's a general feeling around the league. Like, nobody really wanted to commit to 2 years to Brady.
Raiders weekend. Not super busy.
No.
But they signed a name.
A name, sure. Somebody who has a name.
Why'd they sign him? Tell the audience who he is.
Nelson Aguilar, wide receiver. People, you know, I think are familiar if you watch the NFL with him. You know, former Eagle, a guy who has been much maligned for some drop passes. A guy who has some talent, but has not really performed up to the level that maybe was expected of him. And I think the Raiders are hopeful they can take a shot on him and, you know, get the best out of him, get the most out of him at a pretty reduced rate and not a whole lot of risk for the Aguilar contract. But they need weapons at wide receiver. And I'm still 100% convinced they're addressing that in the draft. I think that's where they're going with the 12th pick. But I think they want to have a deep pool of guys to kind of choose from. They learned last year. You can't just say, hey, this is our guy. They tried that with Antonio Brown. Didn't work out. So I think they want to have a lot of guys to kind of choose from to be weapons for Derek Carr if he is the guy going forward, which it looks like at this point he will be.
Your opinion on Aguilar as a player?
I don't think he's as bad as he's made out to be by some people. We had the famous guy with didn't want to be Nelson Aguilar and dropping the baby that was thrown out of the building.
Right, a burning building.
Right.
He's like, I had to make the catch, not be Nelson Aguilar. Yeah, like, wow, what a shout-out.
Somebody tossed a baby out of a burning building, and he had to catch it, and he said, I just didn't want to be Nelson Aguilar and drop it. Like, wow, okay, that's his legacy in Philadelphia. I think he's a talented player. I think he's a guy who has high upside that they got at a pretty reduced rate and didn't have to commit long-term to him. So I think he's a guy that you bring in, and, you know, if he works out, great. If not, it's really not much of a risk for your team, and you hope that he – now that he sees that he's kind of maybe on one of his last chances, that he steps up and fulfills his potential.
And he had some famous misconnects, not only drops, but famous misconnects with Carson Wentz. Towards the end of the season, gigano spot, and he just kind of cut off a route. So it's stuff like that that confuses people. I saw this number that was interesting. Obviously not targeted as much as a guy like Amari Cooper, but Aguilar, over the course of his five-year career, has 24 drops. Cooper has 46 drops. Now Cooper gets a lot more targets, so technically the 46 drops for Cooper are about 8% of his targets. The 24 drops for Aguilar are 6% of his targets. So now he doesn't quite make the big plays either.
Yeah,
that he doesn't have all the upside that Cooper has delivered on.
I think that's what people look at too. If you make some of those splashy plays, then they kind of forgive the drops a little bit more than Aguilar, who drops some passes and is more like just not really that deep threat splashy guy.
Up next, we check in with one of the writers in Indianapolis, one of our favorites, Greg Doyle, as he'll tell us if that notion is or that note is true that the Colts actually chose Philip Rivers over Tom Brady.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
It's like they canceling these events. What they think, people just going to stay at home and, like, I'm not going to go out in public at all. People still going to go out in public. So that, to me, was just really stupid about the whole thing. If they cancel an event, I don't think people not going to go to work or going out in the world.
I don't give a damn.
Cofield and Company.
All right, rolling on here on a Monday. Commodore 64 just went dead, Ari?
That's something like that, yes.
Nightmare. Cofield and Company. Adam Hill is the company today, again, on a Monday here in Las Vegas. Let's get to the Colts, I'm going to say situation. I don't even know if I believe it yet, but Greg Doyle is a guy who will tell us the truth, right? Does not hold back. One of the star media guys with the Indianapolis Star in Indy, as I say, Indianapolis five times. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. By the way, I've got my girlfriend, but I'm considering it mine. I got a dog now named Indy. So you got to specify which Indy we're talking about, because I hear Indy, I'm thinking about a miniature schnauzer.
You are never going to move. You're set.
Oh, I've got the city. I've got the dog with the same name. Right. I'm here forever. So you know where to find me.
Nice. Nice, very nice. All right, well, we were just reading the headlines that suggested the Colts had some – well, Brady had some interest in the Colts, but the Colts snubbed him. Four Rivers, let's get this straight. So what's the real story?
Okay, here's the delightful thing about me. I'm not on Twitter a whole lot. I don't know what you're talking about. I can have some – so if you want insight, I don't have it. If you want my opinion on it, I got that. But what in the hell are you talking about? Tom Brady wanted to be here?
That is the Twitter speculation that the Colts made a decision to go with Rivers instead of Brady.
Here's the story on Sporting News, Greg. Colts reportedly had Tom Brady's interest, but were set on Phillip Rivers instead.
Okay, I need to know who wrote that. I need to know, like, reportedly doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Listen, Tom Brady, I don't know why he'd want to be here. I wrote about Tom Brady coming to the Colts a month ago, just asking Colts fans, what if that dirty, rotten cheater who broke his cell phone rather than turning it over to the NFL because he knew that cell phone was going to nail him for Deflategate, what if that guy wanted to come here? The Colts obviously need a quarterback. They probably, you know, might get a stopgap guy. As it turns out, Rivers. But what if it was Brady? Could you stomach it? Around here, universally, the answer was no, we can't stomach that. So the idea of Tom Brady coming here, wanting to come here, you know, to a team that was 7-9, when he can go almost anywhere in the NFL, I mean, I don't know. Don't believe everything you read is all I'm going to tell you. If Adam Schefter didn't say it, don't believe it. So that's where I'll go with that.
So we have mic issues. How about Peter King? King quote that Brady camp had interest in Indianapolis. Quote, the Colts seem to be set on Rivers on a shorter deal.
Okay, Peter King is I walk that back a little bit. If Peter King says that, okay.
Yeah.
I still find it a little bit hard to believe, but whatever. You ask me which one I'd rather have as a football player, I'd probably rather have Brady as a player, as a human being. I'd rather have Phillip Rivers. And given that my job is kind of – I write about sports, but I like people. I don't want to walk in the locker room and see Tom Brady sitting there like a viper. No thanks.
You talk about the people being able to digest Brady. Is Rivers tough too? I mean, there's been some playoff history between those two franchises.
Well, Rivers is one of those guys that if he's on – the only thing Rivers is guilty of is wanting to win so bad that if you're on the other side, he pisses you off. Right? I mean, he's like a Duke point guard. He's a guy that if he's – unless you're a Duke fan, you're going to hate him. Unless you're a Chargers fan, you're going to hate Rivers. But once he's on your team, you're going to love him because all he wants to do is win. And he'll win, and he wants to win the right way. He'll play with a broken leg or torn ACL or whatever he played with in the playoffs a couple years ago. There's him and Brady. Brady's a cheater. Brady deflates footballs, and he doesn't need to. You know, I mean, Belichick doesn't need to videotape other team's sidelines. I mean, Belichick's one of the greatest coaches of all time, but he can't help it. He cheats, too. Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he can't help it. He cheats, too. So who would you rather have in your locker room and on your team, a guy that just wants to win so much he grinds you the wrong way like Rivers does? Or do you want a guy that cheats? I'll take Rivers.
Adam, my partner, explain why you think Rivers is worse than that. You actually think he's a bad teammate.
I've never thought he was a great teammate. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the locker room. The way I watch him yell at people, every time there's a mistake made, it's somebody else's fault. They're screamed at. It's never been his fault in anything, and he never seems to acknowledge that he's made a mistake in his life, which I've never thought was a fun kind of person to play for. But that's just my mind. I mean, you can certainly make a lot of the same cases for Brady, as you said, about being a cheater.
Well, and you know, what you said about Rivers, he's out in San Diego or L.A., and so the NFL, when it's on, it's probably because I'm in the press box watching it, so I don't watch him on TV, so I don't know what he does. But what you're describing is Peyton Manning also.
Yeah.
I saw that out of Peyton on TV. He and I didn't overlap here in Indy, but that's what Manning did to Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, and I'm not saying it's right, but sometimes that's what quarterbacks do. I don't like that sort of thing either, but you know, if that's what quarterbacks do, it's what they do.
So, in your mind, what is the plan for the Colts? I mean, Phillip Rivers is not a long-term option. He's only there for a year. Jacoby Brissett is still there. Do they draft a quarterback still?
I can make sense of bringing in Rivers for a year if they don't. You know, they traded their number 13 overall pick. They got DeForest Buckner to come in, defensive lineman. They got him coming in. So they've upgraded on their line, and Chris Bowers, the GM, loves that. And once you trade that pick, if you don't think at 34, their next pick is 34, if you don't think your quarterback of the future will be there, then you need a stopgap. If you decide Jacoby Brissett's not your guy, and apparently they decided that, which is a good decision. Where I can't make sense of this move is you bring in Rivers, which is okay, fine, but you bring in Rivers and you dump Hoyer, your number two and now your number three guy, you dump Brian Hoyer instead of dumping Brissett, and Brissett's on the hook for 20, I mean, the Colts are on the hook if they keep him for $21 million, basically, in a cap hit. Why do you keep the most expensive backup quarterback in the NFL? I get it that Brissett is a really good backup quarterback. He's a really good backup. But do you want to invest $25 million in Rivers and $20 million in Jacoby Brissett? And by the way, you're still on the hook for Andrew Luck for about $15 also. That's the part that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But you're asking, what is their thing at quarterback going forward? They're either going to – I mean, Chris Ballard might think he's got a guy in the third or fourth round that no one knows. He might think there's a guy out there that he knows will be waiting for him at round two. We'll find out on draft day. Otherwise, they just are rolling the dice on winning big with Rivers right now and just kicking the can down the road 1 year at least.
We're talking Philip Rivers to the Colts. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Stars, on the horn with Cofield and company. You mentioned Luck. Is this just a one-year Band-Aid, hoping another year removed from football that Luck will change his mind and come back?
That I can't see. There's been no indication of that. Jim Irsay on the record, off the record, Chris Ballard, both too. No one's giving any indication there's a chance of Luck coming back. You know, having said that, no one saw him quitting until the night it broke, you know, about 9 o'clock at night in the middle of an exhibition game. No one saw that either. So, not for a second do I think they are building an entire franchise around a one-year stopgap because maybe Andrew Luck comes back. This is a franchise that believes in definites. And Andrew Luck is a big, fat maybe at the most important position in team sports. So, no, I don't think there's any thought about that at all.
What do you think Rivers has left? Because we've had the argument on this show. You know, I'm basing a lot of my Rivers optimism on what he did 2 years ago, and he was great. I look at last year as a down year. Others on this show are saying, hey, that's the beginning of the end. He's now on the wrong side of the slide. Where are you on Rivers in terms of bouncing back?
Well, recent history has shown that a quarterback who takes care of himself, and Rivers does, can play pretty good football into your 40s. Drew Brees really hadn't taken a step back yet. Tom Brady took a small step back last year, but his weapons were just abysmal. You know, who was he throwing to? It was like me and you and some of the company on your show. So I'm not sure that Brady, how much he's lost. Rivers was never a guy with great arm strength. That's not what he did. I covered him in college, actually, at NC State. One of the reasons I like him so much is I don't really know him since then, but I liked him a lot back then, and I think he's probably the same guy. Arm strength wasn't what he did back then either. He's got this weird Dan Marino release. It's kind of ugly, but it's real fast. But he's just real, really accurate. You know, he's a guy that threw a lot of picks last year, but he throws a lot of picks because he's a gunslinger. He throws the ball downfield and tries to get a touchdown. His completion rate's really high. He just throws picks because he's going for it. So I think he's got a lot left in the tank. I really do, because arm strength is never what he needed. He has accuracy. He needs weapons. And the Colts have T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell's really fast, and they're going to probably draft at least one, maybe two, and give him some more weapons in the Chargers game. The Chargers gave him some nice one downfield weapon, Mike Williams. And everybody else was just a possession receiver. He needs some downfield targets because he's throwing the ball down the field. You better get open. He's throwing it down there.
And I guess the other thing the Colts would lean on and the hope of Colts fans is that the offensive line in Indy is a lot better than the O-line in San Diego. Or check that.
Well,
L.A.
They,
now. L.A. I keep doing that. Damn it.
Yeah, the Colts line, some people say it's the best in football. I mean, it's good. I'm not sure it's quite that good, but it's an upgrade over L.A., San Diego, whoever. It's an upgrade over them for sure. Having said that, he's a guy that gets rid of the ball fast. He just needs somebody to get open down the field. So I don't know. You know, time will tell. There's just, you know, it's one of those deals where you can think he's on the wrong side of the slide. I can think he isn't there yet. We're all just guessing at this point. I mean, anybody who pretends they know, Chris Ballard thinks he knows, but he doesn't know the GM of the Colts. He's hoping. So we'll see what happens. But I believe he's got some left in the tank based on the fact that quarterbacks can do that now, and I think he's got a lot of pride. We will all find out together.
What is the ceiling for this team?
Well, see, I mean, they won 7 last year with Jacoby Brissett playing decent, and Brissett was actually pretty good for three quarters almost every week, and his fourth quarter numbers were really bad. I mean, all year long they were bad. So they won seven games with a quarterback that didn't do much in the fourth quarter, and they had a lot of close losses. So they, in some ways, you could say they're pretty close. And they've gotten better so far on paper. They've gotten better. The ceiling, I don't know, the AFC South, Jacksonville's taking a step back. Houston's taking a big step back, it looks like. Tennessee's about what they were. And, yeah, I get it. They got the AFC title game, but they got there with Derrick Henry and Steve Tannehill playing above over his head. And they're bringing back Tannehill. I don't like the odds of that guy playing as well as he played. And a running game, you know, anyway, I think the AFC South is there for the taking. New England is falling off a cliff without Tom Brady, whoever the quarterback is next year, falling off a cliff unless Jared Stidham is the next Tom Brady, which is to say the next guy coming out of nowhere to be a great NFL quarterback. I doubt it. So their ceiling, I mean, they can make a playoff run, which is about all you can hope for, really.
Colts on the odds board. Believe it or not, there's two books. Actually, there's multiple books outside of Nevada, too. But two books in Nevada that have win totals already up for this coming season. Colts are 8.5 with a little bit of a price on the over. Would you go over or under on 8.5 wins for the Colts?
They're good, right? Because that's the number where I'm like, man, I don't know. That's tough. I'd go over. But the most optimistic thing I just heard you say is that there's a line on a season.
Yep.
Coming up, that's real optimistic. I put it this way. The Colts' chances of winning 9 games, I don't know, but the chances of us having a 16-game NFL season that starts on time, I don't like those odds at all.
Yeah, it seems like a long shot. You mentioned Brian Hoyer. Could he actually win the starting job for the Patriots?
No. I mean, good heavens. Not the guy that I saw, okay? I saw him play twice, and he's a nice guy. I like him a lot. Which I always need to, it's almost like the equivalent of me saying bless your heart, but bless his heart. But no. Only Jeremy Stidham stinks, and they don't bring anybody else. I don't know what Stidham looks like. You know, I don't. In a vacuum, can he win a starting job? No. Can he win that starting job against Jarrett Stidham? Maybe, yeah. But only if Stidham stinks.
Greg Doyle's with us. Greg, you still following the UFC?
Oh, that's all I watch. You know what? I cut the cord with the cable about a year ago when on my cable it's got like most recent channels, and on under the bottom it showed like your 10 most recent shows, and it was like SportsCenter or UFC. That's all I watched. So I got the ESPN app and I'm set. I don't watch anything else. So yeah, I'm all about the UFC. Why? Let's talk about that real quick.
Well, I wanted to ask you: are you thrilled?
Give me any spoilers. Hold on. Don't give me any spoilers. I watch these shows. I watch like one fight at a time. I make it last as long as it can. I don't know who won between Oliveira and whoever he fought.
Kevin Lee.
5-pound.
It was Kevin Lee.
Who?
It was Kevin Lee.
Yeah, don't tell me. I don't know who won yet. I'm watching one fight at a time. I'm on the prelims right now. So anyway, so having said that, what's your question?
No spoilers. No, so you sound like you are thrilled that Dana White is going to have his fights come hell or high water. If it's on a barge or it's in Dubai, he's going to get his fights on.
First of all, we need that so much. I mean, look, ESPN, I watch sports there in the morning. I only watch until about the first commercial because after that it's garbage. But they're showing, like, Aussie rules highlights. They're showing – apparently NASCAR is doing, like, iRacing, and Denny Hamlin won. And once I started interviewing Denny Hamlin, I DVR'd at night or whatever. I can't watch Denny Hamlin talking about winning an iRace. So we need badly something, and Dana White will give us something. And yeah, you can stage that fight. Find a country, find a property, find something. You know, the Trump Taj Mahal or whatever. I mean, you can stage a fight somewhere. You can find a country somewhere that will give you coronavirus rules enough that you can stage it. And Ben White will do that for us. And we will, if he puts it on pay per view. What will the numbers do? We're all desperate to watch something. So yeah, he's a great businessman. He'll figure it out, and I'll be watching it later, and no spoilers whenever that happens.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, is with us. Let's close on this. What is it like in Indianapolis with no sports?
Well, the state of Indiana just today issued basically a stay-at-home order kind of thing. So there's no sports. You can't go out. There's no toilet paper. There's no foam soap to wash your hands with. What is Indianapolis like without sports, kind of like everything else? I mean, we're all living on this desolate moonscape. You know, we're all living in the same city now. I mean, your city is the same as my city because it's our living room. That's all we have. So it's a weird time. And I can't even imagine, you know, I'm finding sports stories. I can find people to write about that. You know, I don't need much of an excuse to turn you into a sports story. If a basketball rolled across your front yard one time 20 years ago, you're a sports story as far as I'm concerned. I'll write about you. I don't know what you guys are talking about. You're the ones that I wonder about, like all of you sports talk shows. I mean, you know, and you know this. Yeah. You got the NFL, thank God, right now. But, boy, when the moves die down, you'll be interviewing Denny Hamlin about some I race he won. That sucks.
We've got you on. I mean, come on. This is
We've
actually had plenty. I did want to ask you this, though. That was all a setup for this. If a local high school basketball coach gets fired, should I say that there are kids on the team on meth and that I'm going to go and kick everyone's ass who's on the school board? Because that happened in your city, and that's when you start to wonder if some sports talkers have run out of things to say. And I know it's Dan Dockich's whole deal, but he got himself in some hot water, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he does this about once a year, and, you know, the deal is that sometimes you know, it's almost like being a lawyer, and my dad was a lawyer, so I don't mean anything disrespectful, but all lawyers sometimes will say all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
And my dad would never have said that, but that's what lawyers say sometimes. That's what sports talk guys, some of them, not you, I'm sure, say. So, yeah, I don't know if Dan helped himself or hurt himself with that thing, because everybody's talking about him, and as long as you're not fired, it helps you. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
There you go. Yep. Yeah, I think he's a I don't think he's a completely irresponsible dude. I think he knew what he was doing there, and maybe he went a little bit overboard. But if his company's got his back, then he's good to go, right?
That's the way that goes, as long as you get a paycheck. I've walked that fine line myself at CBS over the years and almost lost, so I've gone the other way. The heck with that stuff.
All right, Greg, stay safe. Sorry it's getting boring out there, but maybe we can check in with you in another month or so. We'll talk to you, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Bye.
There you go. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, on the way back. We're going to check in with our weekly spot, Sideline Stormy. It will be on the horn as we'll talk a little bit of hockey, but we finally have a chance to fully recap. Don't change the dial. We have a chance to finally recap Love is Blind.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. It's time for Sideline Stormy. Brought to you by Insperity. Only on Cofield and Company.
All right, let's do it. It's a Monday. Sideline Stormy is up. Stormy Bonatoni, Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. Stormy, where are you right now?
I am at my counter in my apartment.
It sounds like an exciting life that's going down right now. Very
yeah,
exciting.
Was that intro new? Like the Sideline Stormy. I don't feel like I've heard that before.
It is new. Do you like it?
I love it. That's amazing.
Vast sound crew here at the show.
Yes.
It's working on that all the time.
Our production crew, they were told, coronavirus or not, you will get your ass to work and risk it all for Stormy. It's the way it works.
Love
now,
it.
Do you want to use that intro for your Instagram Q&As going forward?
That's great. That's a great idea. I'll have to get a copy. That'll really help me out for those Q&As, man. I've been working hard on those.
Yeah.
How are they going?
Good. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we've been trying to do, just from, like, honestly, a team BGK standpoint, has been to, during this, like, weird pause time, to give things from a personal experience perspective and stuff. And so it means a lot to me that for whatever reason people take an interest in my life and want to know what I do and how I got there and share in those stories and moments. So it's been kind of fun. Some questions are kind of weird, though, but I roll with it.
Okay. Can you remember the weirdest question or a weird question or a question that threw you off?
Well, somebody asked me if I can, like, fake burp, if I can, like, force myself to burp. And I just thought that was so strange. But oddly enough, like, that is something that I've always kind of wished I could do and physically I'm not capable of doing. So it was funny.
Adam, can you do it?
No.
I'm not sure I can.
No,
I'll have to work on it.
Should try right now on the air.
Well, I'll try when you're giving an answer and we'll see if anything comes up.
Okay.
Hopefully nothing comes out. Just a belch.
Sounds good. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Exactly. That'll spread. The 6-foot rule is out the window if I start yakking all over the table here.
Yeah, that's true.
Not good at all.
Not
all good. Right. So I have a lot of opinions on Love is Blind. I apologize. I finally caught up. So we'll get to those in a second. What else have you been watching, Stormy, to kill the time?
I have been watching so much stuff. It's so unhealthy. Like, and it's bad because I just binge watch different programs and immediately forget about them. And that's not what you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to, like, take time, watch things throughout the course of a week or 2 weeks. But, like, being in this situation, I've just watched so much stuff. But I've rewatched, like, a bunch of The Office and Parks and Recreation because I can just watch them all the time. But did you see the new Netflix thing, Tiger King, by chance?
Well, that was going to be my question, so here you go.
Oh, okay.
Are you
I
on
watched
it?
The whole thing in a day.
You did?
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Just sitting on my couch, doodling, doing other, like, projects on my computer and stuff, and just binge-watching Tiger King. And that's, like, 7 or 8 episodes that are all, like, 45 minutes.
Nice.
No joke.
It's
just all in.
It's 7 episodes, I'll tell you that right now. And I'll also say, I don't want to give too much away for people, but Carol definitely did it, right?
Carol totally did it.
Okay.
There's no way she didn't do it. I know I'm a journalist. I'm not supposed to do that, but I really think Carol's shady, all right? She acts like she's all cool, saying, hey, you cats and kittens, like whatever her weird little spiel is. But there's something behind that smiling mask.
She's so shady, and I will say that there's not a likable character in the entire documentary, and except for the workers on Joe's Zoo. I like most of them. But, like, the main characters, there's nobody likable. But who is the least likable person?
Carol, for sure, for me.
Wow.
Me too. 100%. That was, like, not even a question.
Well, and what's the name of this Tiger show? Do you guys know it?
The Tiger King.
Okay, the Tiger King. Because I've seen a lot of people raving about it. So I saw a bunch of people raving about Love is Blind. Others ripping it, saying that, hey, they'd gotten a couple episodes in and it sucked. I highly recommend sticking with it because it starts to get really better once they get out of those freaking
pods.
So I got some questions for you, for both of you guys.
I'm so upset that you're late to the party on this, but also like so happy you watched it.
Oh, it's another wave here. I love these types of shows. my girlfriend is all over 90 Day Fiance, and like I'll watch it here and there, but that one's a mess. But this one, is Jessica a terrible person or a really flawed person?
Combo.
Like, I started to feel bad for her down the stretch, and I knew that if you haven't watched it, turn off the radio, that she was going to jilt him at the altar, but I wasn't mad at her.
No, I think, like, I appreciated that she was honest with Mark when it came down to things at the end, but, like, just the way that she handled herself throughout the show, I felt like was really bad form.
And I'll give advice to guys based on that, because we've been through this before. For guys, if there are lots of bad signs going into a marriage and your buddies are telling you that they see the bad signs, listen to your buddies. What was that guy's name? Like Darcia or something? Whatever. Barcia? What was it? Barcia?
I don't remember.
Bardia or something, right? His buddy, Mark's buddy, told him multiple times. What are you doing? Why didn't he listen?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. Same thing goes for girls, I think, too. You know, like, if something's really, really bad and you guys are toxic or for whatever reason, like, just stay away. Just don't do it.
I don't know if that's accurate. I think sometimes women can be jealous and try to ruin a good thing. But, you know, that might sound a little sexist on my part.
Well, Messica certainly did try to do that.
Oh, my God. How about this one? The biggest winner, I'm going to say the guy. The person I'm most happy for in the whole show was Cameron.
Oh, yeah. No, I loved them. What's his girl's name? See, I binge-watched and then I'm out. What's her name?
Lauren.
Adam, tell her why I'm so thrilled for Cameron. You know why. Because you told me about her background and her dad.
Oh, yeah, because he not only found a great girl, but a very rich girl.
Yep.
What?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Lauren's loaded.
Oh, she's loaded. Her dad.
Tell me more.
Her dad's a VP, or he was. I don't know. He might still be at BET. Came up with the concept of TRL and MTV, and what is it, 106
and Park? 106 and Park, yeah.
I mean, he's freaking – first of all, I loved him on the show. The intimidating stare-down conversation with Cameron, I was like, oh, my God, this is great. If I had kids, this is exactly what I would do. But yeah, Cameron stepped in it. She's loaded. Come on, Stormy, this is what we all look for.
So this just goes to show you guys are all about money.
I am. I'm old.
Wow. Wow. I'm really disappointed in you guys right now.
I'm all about reality. I'm all about reality. Marry laterally or up. That's the only way. Love, schmov.
Wouldn't the real winner among the guys be Damien? Because Damien not only yes. He,
really?
Okay, first of all, Giannina is amazing, so good for Damien. But also, Damien took the power back. He was like, no, I'm not marrying you, but if you still want to date me, you can. But now I'm in charge. Good for him.
groveling.
I will say it was good that they didn't get married, and then if you want to get back together, more power to you. But like, you're also stuck with that psychopath. So that's rough.
I agree with you.
And I hate this, Stormy. Because like, I don't personally know these people, and so yep. I hate being so judgmental about it, but they'll never ever hear this, so it's fine. But she was crazy.
She is crazy.
I don't care what you see on social media about her pretending to be so happy, so cool, calm, and collected. She was the worst, and she's still going to be the worst.
I'm not going to stand for this Giannina slander.
She's 24 going on 12. She's so immature.
She's
Come
amazing.
On now.
She's amazing.
Like, I get that she's pretty, Adam, but relax.
I'm not going to stand for this slander. I mean, she's no Sammy from The Circle. Let's get that straight. But she's very good. I'll take it. Also, I did yesterday watch an hour and a half of Amber and Barnett's live stream on Instagram. Yes, this is where the quarantine is.
Hmm.
I'm very happy for them, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Stormy, I don't know that I'm that into Amber.
She wasn't my cup of tea, personally. But
okay.
They seem happy together. They smile a lot, and good for them.
I'm going to go back to money here, because this is what distressed me about Amber. When they had the conversation
about... She had no
money,
that she had none of it, and no job prospects.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care. Exactly. She threw out this stupid line that I work to live, not live to work. Honey, you don't work. You don't work. You can't not work and then say, oh, I do it the right way. You don't work.
Okay.
You're $20,000 in debt with a student loan, and you admitted you don't pay on it. That guy's going to run out the door right away. That's a nightmare. And by the way, guess what she has money for, Stormy? Guess what?
What?
That fake rack.
Plastic surgery.
That fake rack. Those big freaking boobs. She got money for that, doesn't she?
All right, settle down. First of all,
I get very
she was
out,
not unemployed.
You're like the Stephen A. Smith of Love is Blind right now.
First of all, she was not working. She was on Workman's Comp. She couldn't talk about it on the show.
Oh, okay.
That's what was going on. And she was waiting for the culmination of the lawsuit between her and her employer. That's why she wasn't working. She did
Ooh.
Have a job.
Let's come full
You
purple.
Know, like, way too much about these people's backstories.
Yep.
I can't go out. I'm stuck in my house. What am I supposed to do? There's no practice to go. There's no games. I don't know what's happening anymore. This sucks.
You and me both, man. Yeah. It's weird. Mm. But still, I still found time to do other things
Not
than
me.
That.
Not me at all.
Oh, we could do this for hours. I'm sorry, Stormy. Just me yelling.
This Adam, is fantastic.
Adam defending Amber.
And Gigi.
Yeah, I'm not a Gigi person. Can we close on I think it's a nice kind of sad note, but I have a feeling Adam's going to ruin it. Stormy, you're younger than us, but you must know of Kenny Rogers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Were you saddened, or is there a certain age cutoff with Kenny Rogers where, like, youngins just don't know?
I'm sad whenever I hear about that kind of stuff happening, because it's just depressing in general. But he wasn't really one of those people that had, like, a life mark on me. I feel like I'm going to get hate mail for this.
No, no.
It wasn't one of those, like, moments for me where I was like, oh, my God, I really just need to spend the day, like, watching videos and, you know, doing all that. It wasn't really, like, one of those moments for me. I'm sorry.
What are you trying to say, that I did?
Yes, 100%.
Old man Seth. On a much younger note, before we get you out of here, Zach Whitecloud signed an extension with the Golden Knights. Good for him, good for the Knights. And I guess what has he meant for the team this year?
I'm so excited that you asked me a hockey question.
I know, it
happens. It's very exciting. No, I'm super happy for Zach Whitecloud because, you know, not only has he really started to grow and develop into a really good player, but he's just one of those awesome people that you want to root for. He's a really good, nice kid. But as far as, like, what he means to the team, I think that, you know, the words that you really hear the most about him are just kind of composure, maturity, willingness to learn, student of the game. He's one of those guys that's always asking questions, still looking to build on that offensive part of his game, looking for that to develop a little bit more. But he's a guy I think is really cool because he talks about, yes, being a good hockey player, but in him talking like that, he also says, but I want to be a good person, but I want to be a good member of the community. Like, that's just the way that he thinks. And for such a young guy, I think that's really cool. So I'm super happy for him.
That's Stormy Bonatoni. As we close it out, you guys in general, the broadcasters around VGK, the players themselves are trying to do a lot of things on social media, podcasts, videos. So mention some of the stuff that you've seen the rest of the crew doing. And, again, give yourself a pop for your IG Q&A.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we're doing a lot of different stuff. Just from a team-specific thing, we started, we are starting today, the VGK Fitness Challenge on social media. So everybody can get on that and do little workouts. We're also doing a VGK Book Club. We've been posting, like, as a team, just different – like during the season, we do a vlog for kind of a behind the scenes for the broadcasters on the road. And similarly, we're doing one right now for a behind the scenes at what life is like for us during self-quarantine and sharing a little bit of the different fun things that we do. Also been cool to hear from a lot of the players and seeing what they're doing, like Derek England bench pressing his son to stay in shape. Everybody's doing lots of puzzles, watching different things and sharing that. Jonathan Marchessault on one of our live content programs the other day on Facebook Live showed his like hockey setup in the backyard with his shooter tutor. So lots of different things. Everybody's keeping busy and trying to have fun while interacting with all of the fans. So
we'll close out by coming full circle. Mark, who did get jilted at the altar on Love is Blind, attractive or not, or based on what you saw, just not a strong enough dude?
I thought that he was attractive, and I felt bad that Jessica was, like, let down by the way that she pretended like she wasn't at first, but she was let down, and that's just, like, you signed up for a blind dating show, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole point of it, and he wasn't even the worst-looking one. Like, come on. We talked about this before, Adam. Like, they need to have some, like, everybody was moderately good-looking. Unacceptable. Season two, we need to have some people with a tail.
They need some Adam and Steves on the show. You can say it.
You said it. No.
We know who we are. Stormy, you have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There
Bye.
There you go. Stormy Bonatoni with us. Sideline Stormy. It's brought to you by Insperity.com. We come back. We will go to our Choose Your Fate at 4. We had four good choices today. No surprise, a food topic is the winner.
Cofield & Company's weekly visit with Sideline Stormy is presented by Insperity. For employee benefits and full-service HR support, visit Insperity.com.